Thanks for joining me for Women Run Canada, a podcast that celebrates Canadian women runners from all walks of life and the community we create in this fantastic sport. I'm your host, Kirsten Parker. Today, I got to speak with hurdler Michelle Harrison. Michelle is only 29, but has built her career running on a lifetime of resilience. In what I'm going to deem as fate, I'd been preparing for my interview next week with the amazing Sasha Gaulish and listened to her on another podcast. One of the really central parts of that conversation was about building resilience. We need to be mindful of the story we tell ourselves because that story becomes true. We need to take the lessons from our experiences that serve us and carry those forward, but leave the things that don't serve us behind. We learn by living through experiences and then coming out of them stronger. And this all fits Michelle to a T. Michelle has experienced a lot of setbacks in her career and almost left the sport twice, but her resilience and love for the track has brought her through it. She's now set to head to Eugene this weekend to compete at Worlds, and then she's off to the Commonwealth Games at the end of the month. Her season is on fire, and it is going to be so much fun to see what she can do with all this fitness. So let's get into it with Michelle Harrison. Michelle Harrison, thanks for making time for me to do this today.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Michelle, I don't know if you've listened to the show before, but we always start with the same question, which is when did you first fall in love with running?
I don't know. My first memory of like running and track was back in elementary school. I just remember like I had super fun with running, being able to like run up and down the hallways and race my friends. So I always thought that was really fun. And then getting to run my first track meet in the field house. I just really liked like the adrenaline and just like big crowd and big atmosphere and all that. So I decided to join my local track club, and yeah, that's where it all started.
I love it. So often a question that comes out of that question is, would you consider yourself to be a competitive person? Was it the competitiveness that you liked?
Yeah, a little bit. I also just like setting goals and being able to like achieve them. Like I remember our relay was as like in elementary school was pretty competitive, and we were able to like set a meet record. So I thought that was really cool, like being able to like achieve something that you set out to do. So I think I like that aspect more. So, I mean, I am still competitive, but.
Well, it sounds to me like you're more competitive with yourself than you are with other people.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
Yeah. You are a hurdler primarily, not only, but primarily. So when did you start learning the hurdles?
Probably in high school. Yeah, like high school track and like with club track as well. But yeah, hurdles weren't really like available in elementary school. So started with sprinting and then moved to the hurdles afterwards.
So how were they introduced to you? Like was it just your coach that said, hey, maybe you should try this? Or was it your interest? How did that come about?
Yeah, like I think like starting out, you kind of tried like every event. And I think I just liked like the challenge of them. But like, yeah, I don't really remember, but I think we just kind of got introduced to everything. And that's just kind of where I gravitated towards.
Do you remember the learning curve, let's say, of learning to sprint? Do you remember, or learning to hurdle? Do you remember, you know, like actually learning the mechanics of it?
A little bit. I know I really struggled like off the start because I was really like a late developer and I was always really small. So it was hard for me to get over the hurdles at the start. So it was a large learning curve.
Well, that's so interesting to me. So like you like the challenge of it. It was difficult for you at the beginning. So what made you stick to it then? If it was so if it was challenging, was it that just that you liked the challenge?
Maybe. I'm honestly not sure. Like I just remember when I was young, like I couldn't make the spacing. I remember like there was one race I did and like I probably took like 8 steps in between the hurdles, but I don't know. I just never gave up, I guess.
Oh, I like that. Oh. You just never gave up on it. I love that. That's so good. Yeah. Like I think about the coordination that it takes for, like you said, with the steps, like the coordination of that. I'm like, no, that is not for me. So in your pre-university years, you were the youth national champion in the 100-meter hurdles, and then you were a member of Team Canada in the 400-meter hurdles in the 2009 World Youth Championship. So you went to Italy to compete there. What was that like to compete at that level, but also like
travel internationally at that age and have an experience like that in such a like a formative time for you?
Yeah, I was really excited to make my first national team. I like at the time I hadn't really traveled internationally as well. So it was super cool to be able to like go over to Europe and yeah, it just like really opened my eyes to like all the opportunities that are available through track and kind of really got me like excited for the sport.
And got you excited for travel as well, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, it did. Yes.
So good. Okay. In 2011, you accepted a scholarship to run for Rice University in Houston, Texas. So what led to that? Like, I assume you were near the end of high school. You were thinking about like running for your college years. How did you end up with that school in particular?
Well, I didn't like really have a lot of help finding a right school for me going out of university. Like my coach at the time didn't really want me to leave. And I kind of just kind of like got a little bit of help from some of my older teammates. They kind of pushed me like towards like going to the States and trying something new instead of staying back home. But I guess like Rice University came about because my grade 12 year, we went down to do a training camp at Rice. And I really just like really liked the school. It was like a really beautiful campus. And they had really strong academics, which also really drew me towards the school. So just like talking with the coaches when I was down there, I thought it was like a good opportunity and I would just like give it a chance. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting that you say that about it being so pretty, because I did think I looked it up, right? I looked up Rice and I was like, what beautiful buildings. Like it's a beautiful campus. So yeah, nice. I think
that's what really drew me towards there. It was just like, it was just so nice.
So what was that like? I mean, you had only lived at home, right, up until that point. So what was it like moving that far away and having an experience like that at that point in your life? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was a little bit scary. I've always been like a homebody, so it was quite a big change moving away. It was a challenge, but
yeah. Did you manage to kind of find your rhythm a bit as far as like your teammates and that sort of thing? Like, was there sort of a camaraderie that helped with some of that?
Yeah. I definitely like enjoyed my time there and like, but more so just with my friends and everything. So that made a lot better, but yeah, I was just like dealing with lots of injuries and like illnesses at the time. So I don't really think like it helped make the transition. It wasn't really like a smooth transition. So that's like why I didn't end up staying there more than a year.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about that. So when you arrived at Rice, you were already injured at that point?
Yeah. So I got three stress fractures my grade 12 year of track. And like they just like went undiagnosed. Like I was running on like a sore foot like all throughout my like high school season. And like, I don't know, the doctors just like kept on saying like nothing was really wrong. So I just kept on running. And then they finally found out that I had like stress fractures. And yeah, like for my high school provincials, I think I ran like 15 races in 2 days on like a broken foot. So it really screwed me up like in the long run, but.
Oh my God. I know nobody else can see my face right now besides you, but like, oh my God, that's crazy. So So the symptom just was that your foot was sore, but it was obviously manageable if you still ran 15 races, but like, that's crazy. Yeah,
like it was sore. I remember like the night in between the 2 days of competition, like I remember in the middle of the night, I stepped down to go to the washroom and like, I could barely walk, but I don't know. I think I was just young and just pushed through it. I don't really know how I did it. Looking back, I'm like, kind of sounds crazy, but.
Yeah, for sure. But I think you really hit on something though. In high school, you feel like you're invincible and you're like, it's probably nothing, right?
Exactly. Yeah. For sure.
And you struggled with some illness and stuff when you were at Rice as well. So that must have kind of held back your ability to perform at the level you wanted to be at.
Yeah, exactly. Between that and my foot, I just like didn't really get a lot of training in. Tried competing, but like it didn't really go well. So I just ended up having surgery on my foot and then, yeah, I just moved home after that.
Wow. Did you have surgery there or did you come home and have surgery?
Yeah, I ended up having surgery there because like I could get surgery the next day there. Whereas if I came home, I'd be put on like a year waiting list.
Wow. So like, you
might as well just have it here.
So you finished that year and then your second year of university, you took off from track and field. and you decided to do a semester at sea, which I want to hear everything about. Okay. So what was it through Rice that you did the semesters? Like, how does that even happen?
Yeah. Like I remember just like, I don't know, I was kind of down on myself one day walking around in my booth and there was like a semester, I don't know, some sort of like fair that they advertised all the different like studying abroad opportunities that are available. I remember going to a table about like semester at sea and I just like thought it was like the coolest thing ever. And like, I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. Like I wasn't really happy with my current situation and I didn't necessarily want to go back home either. So I was like, oh, I'm going to apply for this.
You were adrift at the time, Michelle. That was terrible. I'll cut that out. So you're okay. So you, how does it work though? Like you get on one boat and then like, tell me what it involves.
Yeah. So I boarded the ship in Montreal. So then like while you're at sea, you take like university classes. And then when you stop at like a different country or port, you're able to do pretty much like whatever you wanted, just go out and explore. And there's certain like core requirements that you had to do for your class. But yeah, pretty much you're just like free to go out and see the country, experience the different cultures. Yeah, I think we had like 14 or 15 different stops and like the ship literally like went like all the way around the world and we ended in Florida.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's like my dream. That's so amazing. Okay. So I could pick your brain about this all day long, but my question is, what place did you visit that you were surprised how much you liked it? Do you know what I mean? Like you weren't expecting it to blow you away and then it totally did.
I don't know. That question's hard because I was excited to go like everywhere. There wasn't like one place that I was like, oh, I don't really want to go there.
Well, you're definitely, you're a travel person. You love the travel.
Yeah. Like one of my favorite countries was South Africa and Cape Town.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't think there was like one country that was like really surprised me.
Did you get to have an experience, like a particular experience somewhere where you had never expected that you would get to do something like that?
Yeah. Like I never really expected to go to like even Africa or India, or there's lots of places I'd never really heard of before that I went to. So that was kind of cool.
So amazing. It's so great. Okay. So you do a lot of travel and we won't keep talking about travel, even though I could talk about travel for an hour, but do you have I'd like to know if you have a place on your bucket list still that you haven't been that you'd like to go to?
I think like my top three places I want to go, I can't narrow it down.
Oh, I'll take three. I'm in. Take it here. Yep.
Egypt, Singapore and Australia.
Oh, so good. Oh, yeah. Are you and your husband making future travel plans or not at this time?
With track, it's like kind of hard.
Yeah.
So there's, yeah, nothing really set in concrete right now.
Ugh. And you also got married in Italy, which was incredible. Your wedding photos. I was like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. Did you just do it because you wanted the trip or was there a particular significance to that place?
Yeah, like I got married like fairly young and I just didn't really want to invest a whole lot of money into like a big wedding. Cause I was like, I want to travel. So we just did like a small wedding abroad instead. Really just cause I thought it was just really beautiful.
It was so beautiful. Oh, if people are not following you on Instagram, they should, because your travel photos, I'm like, yes. Oh, this is so great. And you travel with your mom a decent amount too.
Yeah. She doesn't like to miss anything. So
that's so cute.
She always likes to come. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Okay. We'll stop talking about travel. I swear. Okay. Okay. All right. So in 2014, you came back to Canada. You decided to try running again. And then you were living in Toronto and you did that. So, okay. Well, like, tell me the decision that you were like, yeah, I'm going to give this another go. And what was it like getting the spark relit?
Yeah. So like, I still just like had like a love for track, like deep down inside. And like, I didn't really want to like end my career like that. So I thought I would give it another try. Going back to like Saskatoon, like I didn't want to go back to the coach I had previously. So I just like, I ended up working with Ivan Tam and Bruce Craven and they kind of built me up and I was able to win like my first youth sport championship. So I was able to like start running well again. But like back in the day, there was kind of like a conception that like, you can't really have any success like training in Saskatchewan. like everybody always just like pushed me away. Like that's kind of why I left originally after grade 12 and then back again a few years later. They're like, there's just so many more opportunities elsewhere. So that's when I decided to move to Toronto and I trained with the Athletics Canada hub there.
So once you started getting back to it again, did you feel like it was like, oh yeah, slipping into an old pair of shoes, or was it a bit of a struggle?
It was a bit of a struggle. I remember my first few races, like I ran super slow and, but I just like kept going because I just really loved it and things finally like came together.
During that time, 2015, you competed at FISU in Korea. You ran in the 4x100 meter relay and the 100 meter hurdles. So tell me about that. That must have been incredible.
Yeah, it was a super good experience overall. I didn't like run as well as I wanted to, but like just like traveling and just being a part of that atmosphere was, it was a really good experience.
Yeah. Did you feel like it was like not coming home, but do you know what I mean? Like back, being back in a big competition like that and experiencing that again, did that help push you forward?
Yeah, I think it kind of just like reminds you why you keep like going through like the tough times. Yeah, it reminds you of like the opportunities available.
Yes.
Really keeps you going. Yeah.
Had you been to Korea before?
No, it was my first time. So that was really cool. I really liked the country.
Did you get to spend a little bit of time there?
A little bit, not a lot, but it took like a couple of days afterwards to see a few things.
So cool. Okay. See, I'm going back to the travel again. I can't stay away. Okay. So at that point, you came back to Saskatoon and you started school and you were training at University of Saskatchewan with your coach, Jason Reindl. So, you came back for Jason. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, like I knew I didn't want to stay in Toronto because I was dealing with a whole bunch of stuff at the time. Like I'd hit an all-time low and I was just like, I was going to quit track and then, and just move home. So I decided that kind of like that already, but then I found out that he was moving home too, cause he was away at the time. So that was just kind of like, well, maybe I will give it one last shot with like a new coach. He previously coached my brother a long time before that. And he like coached my brother to beat his own provincial record. So like, I thought that was really cool. I knew he was a good coach because my brother really liked working with him. So yeah, I decided to give track one last try with Jason.
So can I ask, you said you were at an all-time low. Why was that?
Well, I was dealing with REDS at the time. If people aren't familiar, it's relative energy deficiency in sport. Well, I think that's been like, goes way back into like my high school days. Like I was never like really like the leanest athlete on the track. So I was kind of like, I got lots of comments like if you lose like 10 pounds, like you'll perform better type of thing. So I think, yeah, like I didn't really have like the best relationship with food, like probably from grade 12, like to my time in Toronto. I was definitely under eating, overtraining, and it just kind of really caught up to me by then. So I was like injured the whole time I was in Toronto. And it was just kind of frustrating because like I'd already dealt with like so many injuries and like they just kept coming. And I was just like, when do they end type thing. So, but yeah, I got like the help I needed with like working with a nutritionist and I'm backed into like a really good place with it. So
how were you able to, you don't mind, how were you able to identify that that was like a big part of the problem?
Working with a nutritionist, we kind of just like put the pieces together and it all kind of like makes everything kind of fit together and make sense, I guess. Cause yeah, like when I started working with the nutritionist, she's like, this isn't like a new problem. Like this stems back like a long time. So,
you know, I guess I would ask if there is something that you think that like an athlete maybe who is in your position would be able to kind of identify in themselves. Like, was there, I don't like to use the word red flag, but you know what I mean? Like, was there something that jumps out at you now in hindsight that you were like, oh yeah, when this was like that, I should have known there was a problem. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, like how it was diagnosed was like, it was like the summer at BSU. So like I'd made the team and I was running really well. And then like throughout that summer, every performance got worse and worse. And like, by the time I got to FISU, like I was almost running like a second slower in the hurdles than I was like a few months prior. So I was kind of like really a red flag. Like, why is my performance like dropping off so much? Like a second in hurdles is huge. So that was kind of like the red flag, is that like something was wrong. And it was just, yeah.
Well, I got to say kudos to you for trying again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think many people that aren't as strong as you would definitely have hit that hurdle and hit that challenge and been like, I'm done. This is really hard. And I'm really sorry that you had to deal with all that stuff with people being judgmental. Like we all of us women have had to deal with shit like that, and it's not cool. So I'm happy to hear that things are better for you now, but that's a bunch of yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you started training with Jason. How was that when you started training with him and you started to get some of those health things dealt with and started to get moving forward again?
Yeah. Like working with Jason has been really great. Like when I first started working with him, like he took things really slow. Like he knew my history and like, he didn't really want to push things too fast. So yeah, my first like 1 or 2 years, we just kind of took things easy and just try to gradually build things up. But yeah, he's like, overall, he's just like really took the time to like learn how I tick and build a program that really works around like what I need as an athlete. And yeah, over time, it's just really paid off, I guess.
Yeah. Slow and steady has clearly been the key here, because we're going to talk a little bit what you've been up to lately. But I wanted to ask you too, like touch back a little bit how you said, you know, when you left Saskatoon initially, you felt like there wasn't a lot of, or people were telling you there weren't a lot of opportunities for training there. So now that you're back and having success and in that space.
Yeah, I've only ever run fast in Saskatoon. So obviously like, they're wrong. Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just like, well, like obviously having Jason back now is like a big change, because like he wasn't there previously. But I think the biggest thing is just like having a coach that like you trust, having like a support system around you, and just finding life balance are like the big things to running well.
Totally. Yeah. And it must be nice too to have like family around you and have like your friends around you.
Yes. That's a thing. Yeah. And that's, I think, one thing I struggled with when I was in Toronto is I didn't have that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. So in 2020, you were having a great indoor season and then everything changed. So how did you deal with, you know, I would say personally, how did you deal with lockdown, but also like from a sports standpoint, how did you keep training during that time?
Yeah, that was tough. Initially it was hard, because like I was running so well, and just like to break that momentum was like hard to just wrap my mind around. But then like I thought like everybody else is kind of in the same position, like there's nothing really to work towards this year. So like I did like a lot of just like grass workouts, yoga, just things to keep in shape, but I didn't do any like real training. Instead, I just try to like relax and have fun, spend time with like friends and family. And then yeah, I also use that time just to like work on my side hustle cake business and really build that up. So yeah, that was fun as well.
Oh yeah. I want to talk all about your cake business, but we'll hold that off for a little while. I'll get sidetracked like I did with the travel. But yes, I want to talk all about that. It's very exciting to me. Okay. So you had an ankle injury in that time as well. But it wasn't from running, right? Your ankle injury. Didn't you just sort of like randomly roll your ankle, or am I making that up?
No, that's right. It was kind of like when things were starting to open up a bit again, and we were starting base training for like the next year. And like, I think it was just like 2 weeks into training, I was doing chin-ups. And then when I jumped down, I like landed on like the bench press like leg, and then just my ankle went like straight over. So yeah, it was a really bad strain, like or sprain, like took me out for 5 or 6 months. So,
oh my gosh, that must have been so hard.
Yeah, it was really hard, because like we were finally able to train again, and then I was back out.
Oh, that's so frustrating. Well, you must have had a great team to rehab you.
Yeah, I did. It just took a long time, longer than expected.
Yeah.
Just I think because it was the same ankle that I had surgery on previously. So there's just so much scar tissue that like my ankle just wouldn't mobilize for so long.
How do you do this, Michelle? I'm so impressed with you as we're talking. Like, it's like you hit, I keep saying it, but you hit a hurdle and then you just like find a way to get through it. And then you hit another hurdle and you find a way to get through it. And you hit another hurdle in the flipping pandemic and you found a way to pull through it. And you were like a crazy strong runner right now. How have you found this resilience?
Yeah, I don't know. I just try to stay positive, make the best out of like any situation that comes up and just, I don't know. I think the biggest thing is just find like having something else besides track to focus on and just take my mind off of it. I think that's the biggest thing that's helped me.
I think you're very right. I'm not obviously an elite runner, but I hear that a lot, right? People saying that it's a challenge if you choose to define yourself as only a runner, right? If that's all that you are, and then something mm-hmm. happens to that thing, where does that leave you, right? Where does that put you? So I think that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in 2021, you took the 100 meter hurdles title for the national championships. You ran 12:98, which was 8 seconds above the Olympic qualifying time. The weather was insane that day. It was crazy. So what stands out for you about taking that title, having that day, but it wasn't necessarily the day you wanted still?
Yeah, nationals was like bittersweet that year. The weather was, yeah, definitely not ideal. It was really cold and rainy, but I just did the best I could under like the conditions. I was really happy to win my first national title, and it was also my first time dipping under 13 seconds. So I was pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to feel like, well, I shouldn't say it. I don't know anything, but like, you know, those are great accomplishments, really exciting accomplishments. So it's hard to diminish those just because of other factors, right? I did watch that race. It was pretty incredible. As we said, you didn't quite manage to make the point that you needed to join Team Canada, which must have been really difficult. But again, you seem to be like have your eye on the bright side, which is really good. So, but still disappointing. So how did you get through that disappointment? I mean, I'll say you're still so young. Like, this is not your only shot, but you answer the question instead of me.
Yeah, it was like difficult to just fall short, but I had a hard year, like coming off my ankle, and then I had some like nerve damage in my arm too. So I was going into like nationals and into that season just off of like a couple months of training, and I also had Achilles tendonitis at the time. So I did everything I could to give myself the best shot, but it just wasn't quite enough. But I kind of half expected it because of everything that was going on. But yeah, I just try to like not get too down myself and use that as motivation for like the upcoming year.
And you certainly have, for sure. So after that though, you went and did a bunch of European races in that season, and you had a really good competitive season. So I'm curious what it was like to compete in that European circuit during that time.
Yeah, I just had fun with it. But I think the biggest thing I got out of going over to Europe and competing was just learning how to compete outside my comfort zone. It's like racing at home, I usually race like the same girls like over and over in like familiar environments. And like in Europe, I had to deal with lost luggage. I had to like figure out the logistics of like small towns where like barely anybody spoke English. Like just learning how to compete after like really long travel days, because that was something I wasn't used to. I just like had fun with it, and being able to race and like do well against some of like the competitive girls and like girls who were just at the Olympics and like still doing well, it kind of gave me the confidence that like maybe I do belong racing there.
Yeah, you do. Good for you. Yeah, it's really great that you got to have some of that time and some of those experiences, and they can, again, will only make you stronger, and they have only made you stronger. So let's talk about this season. So you are on fire right now. So let's start with indoor. You had a great indoor season. You got to compete at Worlds in March, the indoor Worlds in March, and you ran 2 PBs and you finished 15 spots higher than your ranking was when you went into the competition. So what was that experience like for you getting to do Worlds indoor like that?
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was my first national team in like a really long time. And then I think it was just like a turning point. Like Yeah, it was just like all the hard work I put in is finally paying off. And it was just really nice to like be able to come out of that experience with like the two PBs. And it just really overall just gave me confidence heading into the outdoor season.
Yes, got to put on that Team Canada kit again and get out there and do that. So exciting. Yeah. So you ran Harry Jerome in June and you won the 100 meter hurdles there. What was that race like?
Yeah, that race was fun. I knew there was like a couple strong girls in that race. So I just try to go in and try to run well with some good competition.
And so you're building up some strength, you're building up some confidence. Yeah. And then you won the 100 meter hurdles at the Royal City Inferno in June. You ran 12:80 and 12:83 in the heat and then in the finals. And those were obviously new personal bests for you again and a world standard, which is awesome. It was just this sort of a slow build for you, right? So was there something specific that you can kind of say, oh yeah, that's what made that click for me that day, or that was that turning point? Or do you just think it was, you just kept doing the right thing?
Yeah, I think it was just like that slow build, just finally just like learning that rhythm and just going in with confidence, knowing that like I knew I could run those times. And it was just really nice to finally have those times show up. And yeah.
What was it like to hit world standard? What was that thought when you saw that number on the screen and realized you'd hit it?
Well, it's kind of funny because the number didn't show up on the screen. There was like some technical issues getting the times up. So it took like a while to finally learn my time. But I was really excited when I did find out. And it was just kind of like a stress relief that everything that I've been working towards, like finally achieved it. So
good. I love that. And of course, in June, you got back-to-back national championships for the 100 meter hurdles again. So would you say you walked in confident that you were going to take it again?
Yeah, I was definitely confident. I don't like to be like overconfident, but I definitely knew like I could do it.
Nice. And so did the race roll out the way you expected it to?
Yeah, I think overall it did. Last few races, I've just been like hit with some strong headwinds, which aren't always fun, but I did well, like considering the conditions. So I was happy with that.
You did great. Back-to-back titles. They should make you a shirt that says that. I like it. Okay. So now, of course, this weekend, you're going to Worlds in Eugene and you're going to the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham at the end of the month. It's of course a very lame question for me to say, how are you feeling going in? But like, that's the question I have to ask you. So how are you feeling? You're sitting here right now at the end of your training camp waiting to go. So yeah, that's it. How are you feeling?
I'm just like really excited. It'll be my first for both of the events. So I'm just excited to enjoy and take in the experiences. I'm sure I'll get a little bit nervous, like closer to you, which is good though, because nerves are a good thing. But yeah, like I'm really happy with how my season's progressing so far. And I believe I can really do well both at like the Worlds and Commonwealth. So I'm excited to see how those unfold.
So exciting. Is your husband coming with you to either of them?
Yeah, both him and my mom are coming to Eugene. So I'm excited that they'll be there.
So cool. Okay. So you said your mom doesn't like to be left out, but tell me a little bit about the role your mom has played in your being with you and being going through this process of sport up till now. Tell me a little bit about your mom.
Well, yeah, she's just like really supportive. She likes to be there as many races as she can. Yeah, she's always just like there when during the good and the bad, and encourages me when I need encouragement. And yeah, it's we have like a really good relationship, so it's pretty special.
You can see it in the pictures of the two of you together that you love her so much, right? Like they're so cute. I love it so much. She must be where you get some of your positivity from.
Yeah, probably. She's a pretty positive person.
Okay, now we get to talk about Misha's niche. Okay, so you have a professional baking company, which is great, like so smart of you to do that, to kind of like complement what you can do for work, for training, right? So you can just sort of fit it around your training, right? Primarily, which is awesome. So you started to get into baking because you love the fancy cakes that your uncle used to make for your birthday. Tell me about that.
Yeah, like I always remember growing up, he'd always like make fancy cake. So I always thought it was something that was really cool. Well, when I was in Toronto and when I was injured, I didn't really have much going on. So I decided to look for a part-time job. And there was like a advertisement for like a cake decorator. And like, you didn't need an experience. They just like were looking for someone who was like artistic. So I was like, oh, that sounds like really cool and really fun. Sounds better than just like some other average job. So yeah, I learned a lot like through her. You know, she was like a wedding cake designer in Toronto. It was really cool. She did like lots of cakes for like these like big extravagant events. And then, but then when I moved home, there was nothing really like that back home. So I just kind of decided to start my own little business up. And yeah, I really like how I can do as much or as little as I want, because I can work for myself, which is really good around my training schedule.
Yes, I was looking at your website, and everyone should look at your website, but I will say it made me very hungry. All of your flavors and stuff, it all looked delicious and amazing, and it made me very hungry. You are very talented.
Thank you.
Your decorated cookies are like incredible. Very amazing. Anybody who is looking for baking out in Saskatoon should definitely check that out. Amazing. So I'll back up a wee little bit here. So then when you got home and you decided to build that business, how did you start?
Yeah, I guess I just like started to bake things just kind of more just for friends and family. And then just like with word of mouth, it really helped like build my business. Like I had to do a little bit more advertising off the start, but now it's kind of word of mouth is just what gets me by. So.
Oh yeah. I saw a lot of sold out on your website. Yes. Okay. And so then my last question relating to your baking, Michelle, I don't know if you read this and gave it any thought, but on your website, it says you're addicted to coffee and chocolate. So we are the same in that department. And I wanted to know what your favorite recipe is that uses both coffee and chocolate in it.
The one thing I can think of that uses both would be chocolate cake. I don't know if many people know, but like one of the key ingredients is like coffee. So
that's good. Yeah. Don't give away your baking secrets. What's your favorite thing that you bake that you sell? What's your favorite item that you bake?
I enjoy doing the cookies.
I love it. So cute. Well, Michelle, it's been such a joy chatting with you. Your journey so far as an athlete is really fascinating. And I think that you're definitely one of the people where, as we talked about over and over again, that adversity has made you so strong. And you could have quit. You could have quit so many times and you just didn't. You didn't quit. You took those hits and you used them to rebuild yourself into a more resilient athlete and a more resilient human, really. And you're just getting better and better every day. And it's so cool to watch. So huge congratulations on everything you've done so far. All the best for World. I'm so excited to watch and for Commonwealth Games. And I can't wait to see what you do next. Thanks for your time, Michelle.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening. It means so much to have you connect with the show and connect with me. If you're enjoying it and you have a moment, please rate and review the show on iTunes, because that helps new people find us. And tell a friend about it so that they can have some fun on the run with us too. You can also find me on Instagram at Women Run Canada or on Facebook as Women Run Canada. Let's continue to connect and grow our community.